Yep. My sympathies are with Richard Trow. I think the Welsh were cheated, but it was a very good match of rugby. Actually better than the opening match, I've got to say. Right, questions?
What about the transport on the Friday?
Well, it was a debacle. Clearly, despite the years that they've had to plan it, authorities hadn't planned for the numbers of people coming into town, either to be at the waterfront venue or to catch the public transport into the match. A terrible tragedy for those that made the effort to come in, the thousands of people that didn't get there, because in the end the host nation didn't come up with the goods.
Whose fault is it?
Well, you know, in the end the buck's got to stop with the government. We have a minister in charge of the Rugby World Cup. I presume that means something. It's not just about photo opportunities and taking the credit. If things go wrong, you've also got to take the responsibility. So instead of the finger pointing, I think the Prime Minister's got to pull the parties together and he's got to fix this. It cannot be allowed to happen again next week. The eyes of the world are watching us as the host nation. We've got to come up to the standard, and we've had years to prepare for that.
Do you think that the government has taken enough responsibility in the past 48 hours for what was a shambles?
No, I think they've tried to dodge it, quite frankly. I think the Minister and the Prime Minister, Minister in charge of Rugby World Cup, and the Minister of Tourism needed to be in there straight away and sort the matter out. Don't point the finger, sort it out, make sure this doesn't happen again, because it's damaging to New Zealand in terms of our reputation.
How serious was it as an event, do you think? How serious were the lockdowns?
I think it could have been much more serious, because there were obviously safety issues around crowding. You know, maybe up to 200,000 people in an area designed for a quarter of that number. It's serious in terms of people coming from all over town and overseas visitors not actually getting there for the opening ceremony. That's what they were banking on. In the end, the system let them down.
Do you think the government's decision to basically reorganise the governance of Auckland just a year out from the Rugby World Cup has played a part, that they've been perhaps too tied up with just getting the greater Auckland, you know, the new Auckland city together before?
Well, that's a possible explanation. I don't think it's an excuse. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for New Zealand. We worked really hard to get the World Cup here. It was a great opening ceremony, but it was marred by the fact that our transport system wasn't up to scratch, and the venue wasn't up to the numbers that might have been expected when you have a fireworks display, you've got Neil Finn, everybody was going to come into that, and they weren't prepared for it, and they hadn't planned for it.
What culpability falls on the council, though? Because both the Mayor and Mark Ford spoke very highly of the transport system and virtually ruled out there being any problems before the event.
I think it's a shared responsibility. Instead of both parties pointing the finger at each other, the local council and the government, they've got to sort this, and they should have sorted it before. They must have known that with the sort of events that they were putting on, we were going to attract not just tens of thousands, but hundreds of thousands of people into town, and they weren't prepared for it, the venue wasn't right, and the transport system wasn't up to scratch.
What does accountability mean in this, Mr. Gough? What does accountability look like? What does it mean? Because we're not very good at, like, hedge-rolling, if you like. Are you saying it should go that far?
Well, you know, if you call yourself the Minister in charge of the Rugby World Cup, it means that you don't just take the credit and you don't just take the photo opportunities, you've also got to take the responsibility. The government's got to front up and share that responsibility.
But you don't think there should be sort of mass sackings and resignations?
Well, let's see what the report comes out and says. But can the government say that they're not responsible in any way? No. They are the government. He is the Minister in charge of the Rugby World Cup, and certain aspects of that weren't up to scratch.
Do you think he should resign over it?
Let's see what the report says and we'll make a judgment on what the evidence shows.
Quite a bit of Christchurch. What concerns do you have there regarding some of the insurance problems which are now really escalating?
Well, I was in Christchurch twice last week and I know that there's mounting frustration there. Families that know that they've lost a huge amount of equity despite the fact that the Prime Minister promised that no one would be worse off. They're caught in a situation where they have to accept the government offer. They'll lose their equity when they sell and they'll pay inflated prices because of the huge demand on the new properties that they'll be competing to buy.
What's the answer?
Well, the answer is that the government's got to come in and knock the insurance companies' heads together on this one.
Aren't they doing
that? Well, not obviously, and not enough. Why did 300 people protest on outside their homes? Because they're not getting what they were promised. They were promised that no one would be worse off by no one less than the Prime Minister. They were promised that their equity would be protected by Gerry Brownlee. Neither of those promises have been delivered on.
That isn't an insurance matter, though, per se, is it? If you have to move to a more expensive piece of land and say you find it difficult to get a mortgage on that, That's not necessarily an insurance issue. Would you be prepared to step in to help those people secure a mortgage?
Well, the government's got to make sure the market works, and if it doesn't work, they've got to do something about it. And what we're going to have is a huge amount of demand on a limited resource, on the sections, on the building materials, and on skilled labour. The government needs to prepare for that, and so far they haven't.
So something the government can do is increase the supply of land.
The government's got to make sure that the development land available and being developed is enough to stop huge inflation in land prices. Otherwise, those families that have lost tens of thousands of dollars in equity, sometimes hundreds of thousands, will lose out again when they have to buy much more expensive
properties.
So in
this case, it's not an insurance problem then, it's a land supply problem.
Well, I think there's a mixture of problems there. The insurance companies, of course, are holding things up because they're not insuring on new houses. And they should be in the green zone. There's no reason why they can't be doing that, and the government should make sure it happens. If we get those houses and that land developed now, rather than waiting for another year, that's going to put less pressure on development.
So would you back the release of more land supply around the fringes of Christchurch to make those sections cheaper?
The government's got to make sure that the resource management process does not hold the process up in a way that it shouldn't be held up, and they've got to make sure that there is a supply that will meet the demand.
Over the weekend, the head of the European Commission was calling for a financial transactions tax, not only for the Eurozone, but for Europe and other countries. I just wanted to get you on the record on this. Has Labour ruled out any form of financial transaction tax?
We haven't ruled it out, but at the moment, there's no country in the world that's operating it. Sweden did and abandoned it because it didn't work as they hoped that it would work. I talked to Jose Barroso about this. He is serious about trying to get it introduced, but it's a work in process. Let's have a look and see how they get on and how they tackle the problems inherent in it.
So that would be Labour ruling it out for this election?
It's not going to be part of our election policy this time. If they're going to go ahead and do it, let's have a look at how it goes. Let's look at how it impacts, and whether in the end it's met by the consumer rather than the banks, which is a real risk.
Mark Taylor, the man the Prime Minister confirmed was an Al-Qaeda suspect, did he go too far in going public with that?
Well, sometimes the Prime Minister hides behind the cloak of security around intelligence. Sometimes he's very happy to talk about particular individuals. He made the judgment, and I think you'd have to hold him to account as to whether that was the appropriate judgment in this case.
You think it was too far because it was what?
Well, it was in the public arena, but this man hasn't been charged. Clearly he's under watch.
Have you been briefed on this situation by the SIS?
I usually don't talk about issues that they brief me on.
You've had further briefings since. How have those briefings gone?
I haven't had further briefings at this point. No.
Do you think the Terrorism Suppression Act, which we've seen with the Urawera 18, it's also been used for the government to cancel Mark Taylor's passport. Do you think that legislation set up under your own government, of course, works?
Well, the legislation was part of an international demand through the United Nations that all countries put in place the relevant terrorism, anti-terrorism legislation. There will in due course be a time to review that and to see whether it works in the way that it should be.
Do you think it's appropriate that there's legislation whereby a New Zealand citizen's passport can be taken without any evidence having to be used against them?
Well, we believe in the rule of law, and there should be evidential standards that are met. People are innocent until proven guilty, and at this stage that man has not been charged with any offence under law.
So you think there is a flaw there that his passport was taken off him without any evidence presented?
Well, I haven't looked at the details of the case, to be perfectly honest, so I'm not quite sure what evidence was presented or what intelligence the government has about this man and whether it would have justified that. Okay, thank you very much.